I'll tell you what, we've missed him on this program, TK, and he
Who?
is back.
Oh,
The
we.
great Andrew Webster. Good morning, Webby.
Good morning, boys. I missed an interesting period in the game, but it's been another hectic week for the great game. I knew I was back to reality when I was standing outside Burwood Local Court on Monday morning as Jarryd Hayne appeared in court for the first time. So it's been a bit of a rough week for rugby league, but anyway, we'll continue on.
Yeah, and obviously we can't say a great deal about the things that have happened because they are in front of the courts and we need to let the judicial process take its place. But it's not a good look, is it?
No, you're right, Laurie. I heard what you guys just said before I came on air, and I concur. It always has to be. People need to remember that there's a presumption of innocence in all these cases. I find it quite remarkable that people seem to definitely know, whether it's through social media or on the street, they know what's happened, and nobody knows.
No.
Nobody knows until we go through a court of law and see what happens. Jarryd Hayne, his lawyers say that he's going to plead not guilty. Dylan Walker has pleaded guilty in Manly Local Court on Tuesday, and Jackson Bellin has indicated to the Dragons that he will also plead not guilty, and they deserve their day in court. Just as with the women involved, you know, they deserve some respect as well. So people keep questioning their motives, and you know, we've all been around long enough to know that there are always two sides to stories like this, and there needs to be a presumption of innocence until it's sorted out. You know, I spoke to Todd Greenberg last night. You know, people are very concerned about the damage that it does to the game, all this type of stuff. And, you know, as a lover of the game, I'm concerned about it too. But, you know, I'm more concerned about what the damage that the game does to women, to be perfectly honest. We can talk about player behaviour and all that type of stuff and, you know, players getting caught with half a bag of cocaine or whether they've been thrown out of a nightclub or not. But when you talk about sexual assault or domestic violence, it takes it to another level. I don't know how much more the game can do in terms of education. They spend millions and millions of dollars, every year to educate players. I don't know what clubs can do. I know Todd Greenberg sat there and eyeballed all the players, all the chief executives and all the chairman at their final meeting for the year yesterday and said, listen, can you go to your players and tell them to do the right thing? Yeah. I don't know, boys. When does the onus come back to the player?
Always.
Know? Yeah. But
it's always back on
always.
The player.
Yeah. Always. Yeah. Always back on the player.
The only thing you could possibly do, Webby, and it's not going to stop incidents happening, but life bans. It's not going to stop it happening, but what you would have is you know the consequence, and everyone should know the consequence of what happens, but in terms of domestic violence, sexual assaults, if you are charged and found guilty, there's no second chance.
No.
Yeah, look, I used to think that zero tolerance is a very tricky thing to police, and you know, and players, is it retrospective? Is the players that have in the past, you know, have been found guilty of it. Who have charges downgraded or anything like that at all, who are now in the game, do we suddenly kick them out, you know? It's, you know, these things are really, really complex.
Yeah, they are. And it's difficult to say that.
You know, every case is...
It's very, very, very difficult. I do want to clear this up because, you know, a few readers have asked me this, like, why can't the NRL just stand down, you know, players while they're, you know, for the courts when it's something as serious as this? And the NRL can, you know, if the evidence is overwhelming and the charge is serious enough and aggravated sexual assault is very serious, then why can't they stand them down? It's a bit of a dangerous precedent. If someone gets off, they can seek damages. You might remember the former New South Wales Premier Mike Baird wanted to stand down Sean Kenny Dow.
Yeah.
He was cleared. But if they stood him down, he would have missed a whole year while that court case played out.
Well, so, some can take even longer. Mm. So, you know, you could lose 2 years of your career for no reason whatsoever in the end. Webby, the other big issue yesterday, moving on from that, is I find it staggering we don't have a plan, but apparently we're now going to get one. What is the optimum footprint of rugby league in Australasia, in the Pacific region? Whether additional teams would dilute the standard of the premiership, the impact of expansion or relocating teams on participation numbers, the financial cost of including additional teams in the competition, and whether broadcasters support an expanded competition. I can't believe it's taken 6 years for the Commission to actually endorse the fact that we might need a plan.
Yeah, I know. It's good to have a plan about what you might be doing with the future of the game. You know, the thing that the hard question that they seem to ignore is what they're going to do with the rationalisation of Sydney clubs. If you're going to be fair dinkum about taking or setting up new clubs in places like Perth or in southeast Queensland, then you know it's going to come to a stage. As much as I'd hate to admit it, that clubs in Sydney might have to fall by the wayside. You know, the Sharks are always mentioned. It would be diabolical if the Sharks had to fold, you know, given the success they've had in the last couple of years and their rebirth since the Asada scandal. But they're about to post a $4 million loss, and it could be exacerbated if they have to pay an extra $400,000 because of that suspended fine over what might happen with Shane Flanagan. That's a $4 million loss for a club that won the premiership 2 years ago. That's staggering. I just think it'd be very dangerous to be bringing in new clubs to a game that has so many clubs that are teetering on the brink as it is. You know, I'm a bit of a traditionalist in that way. I just think they should be more worried about shoring up the finances of clubs that are already battling.
Webby, that staggers me. How do you lose $4 million?
Easily.
I don't know.
No, but how do you when you're getting the biggest grant you've ever had?
Mm-hmm. It's easy.
Well, yeah, but where did they spend it?
Well, you spend $4 million more than you've got.
Yeah, but
blokes who make $100 million a year can still lose money because they spend $101 million.
What I'm saying is that when the commission came in, it was all about getting business people on boards. All right. Go away from the old rugby league player being on a board. You need businessmen with great acumen and they're going to solve all the issues in the world.
How's that going?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, where does the money go? Like, how do you lose it?
Can I suggest this? Yeah. Can I suggest this? All this stuff that we talked about previously about off-field behaviour of players hurts the game and hurts the club so much. You know?
Correct.
Hurts the club so much. It is so hard for clubs. It's becoming so hard for clubs to sell sponsorship, for players to get, you know, for player managers to get value for money for their players. And I know this because I've spoken to them, to players and clubs directly about it. You know, the rugby league brand is becoming harder to sell because of what happens off the field. Now, yesterday, when this broke about this news about Jack DeBellin, you know, presumption of innocence and all that type of stuff. But when that broke yesterday, Andrew Adler, who was the head of commercial at the NRL, was in a meeting with a multinational company about trying to get a massive, massive multi-million dollar deal for the game. So, the game's brand is being soured by what's happening off the field. Yep. There's no doubt.
And it has to. I mean, with all the negative publicity, that's what happens. No one wants to associate their brand with a club or a player or the game that continually gets itself into trouble. I know that. But my point is, like, clubs that look to be successful on the field, they're losing all this money. For me, it just, I can't work it out.
No, I agree.
I think this is...
I'm not saying anything.
I'm going to try and be positive here. Corey Norman, he doesn't have to answer our question on a weekly basis. He is still at Parramatta because he's no longer at Parramatta. He's now at your club, the Dragons.
Go, Corey. I'm going to be Corey Norman support the day. You know, it's not all but done. It is all but done. It's not completely signed off on. There's reports yesterday that have been signed off on. It's not, the paperwork isn't done, and until the paperwork isn't done in rugby league, it's not done. Even when the paperwork is done, it's not done.
Correct.
But it seems like he's definitely coming. The Dragons think he's worth the risk. He's on his last chance with the NRL Integrity Unit. If he steps out of line whatsoever, that'll be the end of his career indefinitely, and that would be a sad waste of talent. I know Dragons fans are pretty concerned about, you know, whether he's the right fit. He'll play six. Garrett Widdop going to one. They don't know what they're going to do with Dufty. But, you know, Corey Norman, when he is has his head right and when he's motivated, is an exceptional player. I know people have bagged his form over the last couple of years, but if he can get firing, then, you know, he's a strong player. He's got silky skills. He's a left foot kicker. And, you know, sometimes you've got to take a bit of a punt to win a premiership, and that might be the one that does it for the Dragons.
Yep. All right, Webby, we've got to go, mate. We've got to go and talk to another Webster, but thanks for being back on the program before Christmas, mate. And we have missed you, by the way.
Thank you. I've missed you guys too.
He's been gone.
Beautiful.
Yeah, he's been gone.
Bye-bye. He has been.
He has been gone.
Thanks, mate. There he is, Andrew Webster from the Sydney Morning Herald.